We have been talking about going to the other side. How many have been in one service at least and heard that truth? Going to the other side. You see, the God we serve brings us into times and seasons in the Spirit. And times and seasons are not determined by us, though we can contribute. Times and seasons come from the very heart of God. And he told his disciples in the book of Mark chapter 4, I believe verse 26, let's go to the other side. It was God's choice. And hear me, when God says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. That's why almost every time I've said I'll never do something, guess what? I do it. That's why when someone's manifesting and all rebellious, I'd say, please, let's stop. Just say I'll never do it. Hallelujah. Because that kind of like seals it. It's done. Peter said he'd never deny the Lord. I said I'd never pastor, and I had to for 9 years. I said I'd never come back to the United States when I was 21 years old. I was living in Europe and came back. And various other, I said I'd never have kids, have three. Hallelujah. So I've learned never say never, because that's just a form of self-will and rebellion. Amen. Peter said, I'll never deny you. So it's best we say, by the grace of God, on and on and on. And so we've been talking about going to the other side. We saw that when Israel came to the promised land after Moses had died, God told his people, cross over Jordan. In other words, go to the other side. Are you in a place in your spirit life that you want to go to the other side? Do you want to stop staying outside of your inheritance and you want to go into what the blood of Jesus shed for you to come into? Or are you willing to let the enemy rip you off in subhuman Christianity and subnormal Christianity, because God wants a people to go into their inheritance? And so many people have failed to understand that, because the book of Joshua and the book of Ephesians go together. Understanding Ephesians can be seen in the pictures of Joshua, because they were called to take a physical land. Now we're called to take a spiritual land. They were meant to fight natural giants and natural enemies. We're meant to fight spiritual enemies. And when? How many say that? And when? I don't want to just be in warfare for warfare. I was with a guy. He traveled with us in Klaus. This won't happen to you, Pastor Jerry, when you travel with me one day. Turn to everybody and say, when he travels with me one day. Yeah, I just thought I'd confirm that. Hallelujah, through the people of God. But anyhow, this was this guy's first time out of America, and he was in a church. They knew everything. Just ask them. It's kind of like experts, you know, in the United States today. You hear them on television, experts about marriage. They've been divorced five times, and, you know, experts about the economy, and they've gone bankrupt, and on and on and on. I see a lot of these experts are just educated idiots. Hallelujah. But experts. Anyhow, I was in this church, and they were experts in spiritual warfare. They'd been fighting the devil for 10 years with no results. It was a good-sized church, but no results. So anyhow, we're flying across the Pacific, and I looked at him, and I said this, you've just left the minor leagues. His eyes got big. 2 hours later, he ran into the bathroom, was throwing up blood. Serious when you're going across anywhere, but going across the Pacific is really serious, because I don't know any hospitals along the way. So my travel partner is a great man of faith, prayed with him, prayed for him. He said, it's going to be all right. So we landed in Thailand and waited, and then finally got to the Himalayas. It was 32 hours of travel. And we got there in the middle of the night. I was tired. You'd have been too after all that. And so I was asleep. And this guy, was his first time out of the United States. He was in Nepal, a country just above India. All night long, demons picked him up and threw him around the room and even against the walls. I didn't hear a thing. How was your night? So he was getting baptized in reality. He was going to go to the other side. See, there was a storm. And then when he got finally out of that country and into another country with us, he came to me and he says, Bill, this has changed my life. I said, well, why? He said, In our church back in California, we're binding these spirits and doing everything, and nothing ever happens. What you guys pray for in the morning happens by the afternoon. I said, yes, because we're not in war games. We're in warfare. When you're in warfare, you win. Biblical warfare, you win, because Jesus won. And that's the one I'm going to talk about tonight, Jesus. I want to talk about the one who said, let's go to the other side. Because hear me, you try to go to the other side without Jesus, Hasta la bye-bye. That's half English and half nonsense. Hallelujah. You're just not going to make it without the Lord. Because hear me, I know this is going to deflate a lot of ministries in America. He said, apart from me, you're going to do nothing. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do something, but you're going to do nothing of eternal worth. For example, the United Nations went to Cambodia when it had was being rebuilt after communism. And they had, quote, peacekeepers, soldiers from various nations. And you know what? They spent $16 billion, the most they'd ever spent rebuilding a nation. And the only thing they left behind was AIDS by going to the prostitutes. They left nothing but pain and sorrow and more death. And hear me, without Jesus, we're going to experience only the negative. You're not going to experience the positive without Jesus on your boat. You're not ever going to get positive without Jesus coming in and breaking the generational curses over your life. You're not going to ever become someone who's positive unless you fall in love with Jesus and his church. And you begin to see, we don't have to become like this one or like that one. We need to begin to reflect his likeness. Therefore, that should always make us hungry, because regardless how spiritual we've gotten over the time, we still are way short of the Lord Jesus Christ and will ever be. Because he's the standard that draws us, but he's the standard that even throughout all eternity, we won't fully attain. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is the one that takes us to the other side. How many want to go to the other side? And I want a greater revelation of Jesus this year. I don't know about you. You know, I don't know. It's happened over the past couple years, Pastor Jerry. I've kind of done what Paul said in Corinthians. He said, don't let anyone glory in men. Now, I respect people like Billy Graham and the late Oral Roberts and the late William Branham. But hear me, they are just men. And God's anointing I respect, and God's giftings I respect. But hear me, they're just men or women that God used. When we elevate men to the place only Jesus has the right to, we set people up for a fall. I said we set people up for a fall. And I don't want to set people up for a fall. I want to set people up for miracles and blessing and breakthrough. Oh, hallelujah. There's one you can lift up all day long and brag on and get excited about and bow before, and it will not be idolatry, and it will not be any form of bondage, and will not be any form of hero worship. There's one hero at the Father's right hand, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, sometimes I run into feminists. How many know what they are? They're needy people, but I run into them. Well, is Jesus male or female? I said, he's both. He's the perfection of femininity and he's the perfection of masculinity. He's both. Because the Word was made flesh, it says in John chapter 1. That is, Jesus was the perfection of humanity. Amen? Without sin. Without the stubbornness and thick-headedness of men. And without the emotional of women. Hallelujah. He was the perfection without the imperfections. Are you glad for that? Hallelujah. I got a wife. She's close to perfect. You'd never believe who produced that in her. But I also have two daughters. Hallelujah. And I never was into soap operas much or any stuff like that or at all. But boy, I didn't have to watch them on television. We had enough right in real life. Hallelujah. But I'm glad there's one who's not into any drama, who solves drama. Not that you ever have any of that around here. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I think you could really make a lot of money, Pastor Jerry. I could do all the stuff I know that's going on in the church world and make it into a sitcom or a soap opera. I tell you, it would really be hit of the week. Hallelujah. I haven't ever seen one of the South. That could really be good. Amen. Stories I know about my relatives, I mean, I could, never mind, I'd be shot for it, but anyhow. But there's one you can concentrate on, because everything that's good, Jesus takes it to a new level of perfection. He was the perfection of power, yet the perfection of character. You know, I've been in groups, they talk about character, but they have no power. Then I've been in other groups, they have a lot of power, but no character. Jesus was both, not one or the other. He had the perfection of the gifts of the Spirit and the perfection of the fruit of the Spirit. May the Holy Spirit give us a greater revelation of Jesus this year. Because in getting that through faith, by grace, we will go to the other side like we've never gone to the other side. I want to focus in on Jesus. Amen. Because the book of Colossians would make a phenomenal statement. Maybe we'll go there tonight. But it would say this. In all things, he's meant to have the preeminence. Jesus isn't the side issue. He's the main issue. People are looking for deeper truth. You know, they want to go into the book of Exodus or Revelation. They want to get this type or this symbol. But I want to thank God we don't live in types and symbols in the New Testament. We have the fullness of the reality of everything the Old Testament saints and prophets were looking into but didn't fully grasp. Are you glad we're in the New Covenant and the source and the center and the one to be exalted alone in the New Covenant is the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, how can I say this in a nice way? I can't. Tragically, many of God's people don't reflect too much of Jesus. And there's been times in my life, I'm in that number when the saints come marching in. Or is it the ain'ts come marching in? Hallelujah. And that's not condemnation. It's just, it's a concern because I believe in speaking in tongues. I thank God for speaking in tongues. But when a movement got known for Acts 2:4 and no more, something's wrong. You see, if we focus on Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, we're going to have tongues and power and everything else and love. But when we get on a tangent, how many hear that? A tangent. And I believe in the baptism of the Spirit. I vitally believe in the baptism of the Spirit. I just know that cannot be the preeminent thing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many want the real Jesus? How many want a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many want him to make himself known to you and your family and your church and your city and your state and your nation? Well, look what Isaiah said. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Somebody says, well, you know, I can identify with Jesus, but I had a rotten father. So when you say the word father, I can't identify with God. But I want to tell you this. When you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. He was the perfect representation of the Father. Amen? There's no difference between the Father and the Son. Jesus came to reveal the unseen God. And I'm glad when you look into the revelation of Christ in the gospel, you see the heart of God because Jesus came to break the barrier between male and female and cause them to be sons and daughters of God again. Amen. Are you glad our Father put on flesh and blood and came and dwelt among us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I go into some groups that really hate each other, but I still go in both, hallelujah. And sometimes the word hates, maybe, sorry, they just don't like each other. That's Christian terms for not hate, loving each other. But anyhow, they just don't like each other. And some of them used to be working with each other, but over issues that really don't matter, they split. Sometimes there's recent splits, like the Vineyard in Toronto, or distant splits, like certain Pentecostal groups. And they split over stuff that they should have never split over, but they did, and they won't come back together again because various reasons, religious spirits, pride, whatever. But some groups split over the Godhead. Now, I want to say this. Here's my view on the Godhead. Whether Bill Norton teaches it, Pastor Jerry teaches it, or an angel comes down and teaches it, we're never fully going to understand the Godhead on this side of heaven. And when we get there, we're still going to only know in part because God is God and we're finite people. So, when people want to split hairs, have you ever run into people like that? If you don't baptize, wait, we baptize, you're going to hell. Example, I was getting on a plane. This was, I don't know why these things happened to me, hallelujah. If I believed in reincarnation, I would have been something in another life. But since I don't, hallelujah, I don't know why it happens to me. But I was getting on this plane, and here's this guy handing out tracts. It was somewhere in Chicago. That's where it was. He's handing out tracts. Sir, I said, yeah, I'd like you to have this. I said, I don't want to have this. No, you got to have this. So I look at it, and it was apostolic, so forth. And so I wasn't in the happiest mood that day because planes were late and weather was, you know. So I said, you know what's wrong with you guys? He said, no. I said, you call yourself apostolic because you baptize a certain way and believe in a Godhead a certain way, but you're not apostolic. He said, what do you mean? I said, because I work with true apostles that are raising the dead, causing cripples to walk, and starting hundreds of churches every year. You guys don't do anything like that. You're not apostolic. He says, well, you need to be careful that you walk in love. I said, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. So that was a wonderful exchange of ideas. Now, I know if it was down south, I'd have taken about 2 hours to say that. Hallelujah. But I said it about 2 minutes. Hallelujah. So I got on the airplane. I said, thank God I got rid of that idiot. Hallelujah. And I sat down, and guess who sat in the row right across from me? The plane takes off, and the Spirit of God comes on me. Go talk to him. I said, can I sit down? Yes. And I started talking to him about the miracles. And he started to cry. He said, I have an inoperable brain tumor. There's no way out. And I said, can I pray for you? Yes. And the power of God fell. And he started weeping. He said, my God, I didn't even think you were saved. And here Jesus sent you to heal me and deliver me. Surprise, surprise. When you follow Jesus, he causes you to do things in the flesh you would have never done. He causes you to get in relationship with people you'd have never talked to. You think Peter and Paul would have got on in the flesh? Or you think Paul would have in the flesh joined those despised people? No, but I want to hear some good news. Jesus has a plan for your life, and part of that plan is to take you to the other side. You say, well, I don't like the seas, and you know, I like my feet on dry land. But before you know it, you're on the boat, and the boat has taken off, and there's a point of no return, because he hasn't taught you yet to swim in certain waters, and he's going to give you some advanced training. You're going to the other side. Hallelujah. I said, you're going to the other side. This year, the reason you're going to the other side is not because you heard me preach. The reason you're going to the other side is because Jesus has put you on his boat. I don't know how this happened. I'd have never done it in my flesh. No, but something bigger than your flesh has gotten in your life. His name is Wonderful. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Any plan we have that's not in Christ is horrible. But since his name is Wonderful, you don't have to fear the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, from the beginning, Satan lied to Adam and Eve and told them this. In so many words, God doesn't want you to be blessed. God doesn't want you to be everything you could be. He knows if you eat that tree, you're going to be like God. I mean, he lied about the goodness of God. And may I say this, Satan has never ceased lying about the goodness of God. But I want to shout from the housetops this night, God is good. I said, God is good because his name is Wonderful. And hear me, in the midst of horrible situations, God wants to make his wonderful power and grace known. His name is Wonderful. I said, his name is Wonderful. And sometimes wonderful things happen that we don't even recognize they're wonderful in the beginning. Hallelujah. I bet when Mary was pregnant, riding on some donkey headed to Bethlehem, and there was no room for them in the inn, that was not a wonderful experience. Imagine that. But hear me, what often could look like a disaster turns out to be the divine plan of God for our life, because in the midst of what's wrong, Jesus makes it right. Wonderful. Can we shout, Wonderful! Jesus is wonderful. I said, Jesus is wonderful. Religion's horrible, but Jesus is wonderful. And sin is horrible, but Jesus is wonderful. and sickness is horrible, but Jesus is wonderful. And may I say, the wonderful one is going to reverse every horrible thing the enemy wants to do in our life and do against our loved ones, because the wonderful one has a name that's above every name. And I want to turn people on to the wonderful one. When I got called to preach the gospel, no church would let me come in. I know you don't believe that, but no church would let me come in. And I was so ignorant, I didn't even know I was ignorant. I'd be preaching to you using language and make you pass out. I just was not church raised. Since that, how we talked in our home, I hadn't yet got refined. Hallelujah. And so I'd start going into the places other Christians wouldn't. Drug dens, houses of prostitution, Hindu ashrams, on the streets. And you know something? I didn't yet have this revelation, but that wonderful one will go after the lost sheep, regardless how dirty, how demonized, how deceived, how bound they are, because his wonderful grace is not turned off by the horrible sin of mankind. He's wonderful. I said he's wonderful. Are you glad he's wonderful here tonight? I said he's wonderful. And the reason we can go the other side is we can trust how wonderful he's ever going to be. You know, whenever the enemy tries to tell you this is this and, you know, this is this, well, that's because people have chosen, or the enemy has chosen, to be horrible. But we can never get the deception in our minds and heart that God, the Lord Jesus, isn't altogether wonderful. The Song of Solomon says he's altogether lovely. May the Holy Spirit give us a revelation in a deeper way how wonderful Jesus is. And people need to hear this, because I've seen some church people, of course, not in these regions, but I've seen some church people look like they've been drinking pickle juice all day. And to be spiritual, they got to look like, you know, they came out of a fight with a husband and wife or kids. You know, just like I enjoy bulldogs, but I don't want to look like one. And that's supposed to be spiritual. No, that's not spiritual. That's negative. I said that's negative. That's a sorrowful heart reflecting in a negative countenance. May the Spirit of God get that look off our face. I said may the Spirit of God. Because when Moses saw the wonderful one, his face glowed. I said his face glowed. His face glowed. And man, when people are under oppression, they are such a hard look, a depressed look, a bound look. When I'm in Russia, I don't know, they take it. I tell them, stop looking like Russian bulldogs. Hallelujah. Even when they take their picture, they've been trained by their government to look like you just were risen from the dead. And that's the way, you know, they've been frozen at. But hear me, the wonderful one says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's tragic, the same ones that have a sourpuss on their face like that over there, everything changes when they start drinking vodka. You know why? The demons come marching in. And may God deliver us from some of these filthy religious spirits that make us miserable and not enjoy the wonderful one. Hallelujah. The wonderful one who could eat and drink with the prostitutes and sinners and make them come to him and not run from him. The wonderful one who would turn the water into wine and people would say, you saved the best to last. May God give us the best here tonight. Because hear me, Jesus is the best. When any group goes against the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm getting off the boat real fast. Oh, hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit give us enlarged vision how wonderful Jesus is. Can we praise him for how wonderful he is here tonight? Can we praise him for how wonderful he is here tonight? Can we praise him that the wonderful one is going to get us to the other side? And hear me, there may be some horrible waves. There may be some horrible wind. But the wonderful one who's got a hold of our life says, we're going to the other side. I said, we're going to the other side. I said, we're going to the other side. Are you glad the wonderful one is the captain of the Lord's host? That is the one who's in charge of heaven's armies and heaven's angels. And that wonderful one is for us. And if he's for us, no one can be successfully against us. Are you glad there's victory in the midst of your pain? That there's a journey that no one can stop that you're on. There's a destiny that the blood is paid for you to arrive there. There's a forerunner who went into heaven and said, Father, they're coming next. Are you glad you are chosen, ordained, and set apart by the grace of God? You see, I want to have a kingdom culture that fits in, that doesn't fit into a natural culture, but it fits into the purposes of God anywhere in the world. Wonderful. Can we say wonderful? Wonderful. Now, notice this. Counselor. I have seen people go to worldly counselors because they got a PhD. My wife's got a couple masters. The only thing I mastered was sin. Hallelujah. Then I got saved. I got a little of his wisdom. But counselor. What does this tell us? The world needs wisdom. And they won't like to hear us. They ain't got it. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The magicians in Pharaoh's court tried everything, duplicated it to a point that Moses was doing. But then they said, we can't, because the world's power and the world's wisdom will run out. But I'm glad the one we serve has all power in heaven and earth. Not some power, all power. And that includes the wisdom and the knowledge of God. When I don't know what I'm doing, and it's often, I've got a counselor. When you don't know what to do next, you got a counselor. And I thank God, he says, incline your ear to me. Psalm 81, if Israel had just listened to me, I want to listen to the Lord. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, 7 times, God says, him that has an ear, hear what the Spirit's saying. Do you want to listen to the counselor this year when he said, let's go to the other side? Or will you need spiritual hearing aids by this time next year? Huh? I didn't listen last year. How come you guys are way over there and we're back here? Oh, that's easy. We've gone to the other side. Come aboard and get over here. You see, if we'll listen to the Lord, here's a belief I have very strong. We will make minor mistakes, but on the major issues of life, we will not miss it. I said, we won't miss it. When I was single, and I was like Sherlock Holmes, looking for a wife, there are some people that thought they heard from God for me. May I say, in something like that, there's only one person that's going to hear from God, that's you. I had this guy run into me once in upstate New York, and he said, I think I found the woman that's going to be my wife. And I says, are you sure? He said, yeah, the elders of my church, the leaders of my church said, she should be my wife. She's good. I said, I don't care what those elders said. I said, they're not going to have to live with her. Now, I want to say this. I believe in church leadership, but in the major decisions of life, the final vote is you. We need to hear that. And so when I was looking for a wife, there was one they tried to get me into, and we'd have killed each other before the first year was out, so that didn't work. Then I was praying for this one Pentecostal, well-known Pentecostal evangelist niece, and she was brown hair, I remember that, brunette. And I'm praying, God's my witness, and all of a sudden I heard a voice. And the voice said, and then I saw a vision, wouldn't you want to marry a blonde? Huh? Well, I didn't pay any attention to it. But I had a vision. And this, you know, here's the thing. When the counselor starts downloading the counsels of God, that is his eternal plan for your life, things start to come together. and like a piece of a puzzle. I said, like a piece of a puzzle. And I was in a Dave Wilkerson meeting, a huge Coliseum, indoor stadium there in Stuttgart, West Germany. At that time, it was West Germany. And 700 people had come to Christ that night. It was the 1970s. And lo and behold, I was in the balcony after everybody had gone. There was such a presence of God. And then, I didn't plan this. Just like I can see you, everything changed. And I saw, like an astronaut can see the world. Have you ever seen that? Astronauts see the whole world before? I saw like the whole world right before me, the whole globe. And I saw all the continents going before me right there. And behind me, I heard a voice. And this is what the voice said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you know what I said? I guess I can be a smart aleck before the Lord. I said, go into all the world? I'm happy right here in Germany. Well, as the end of the vision sure wasn't the end of the dealings of God. That night, I broke off a relationship with a German girl that I was planning to marry. And 2 weeks later, a little blonde showed up in a meeting I had, and she came running up at the altar call and not for prayer. I discerned that. She was so friendly, I got out of that building fast. But several weeks later, she shows up again at another ministry we were a part of. I don't know how she got there. And we had this big ministry center, huge thing, this former factory. And there's one part where the women would come and spend the night in a dormitory, another part for men, and then we had our own rooms. And she came, spent the night, we all went out to eat. The next day, we went on a walk and came back engaged. If one of my kids did that, I'd lay hands on them, not for prayer. Well, we've been married 42 years, and the winds and the waves we've walked through, if it wasn't God, we'd have never made it. But I'm glad there's a counselor whose wisdom he wants to give to us. Dear people, we can't make the right decisions unless his word and his ways and the heavenly wind, the Spirit of God, comes on our life. The reason we screw up our lives so poorly again and again, the reason I've done such stupid things from time to time, and I'm not alone in that, is because we haven't taken time to seek the counsel of the Lord. And when Joshua did that, he got in a relationship he shouldn't have got in, but God was merciful to turn it around. But I want to tell you this. There's a counselor who wants us to hear his word so we go to the other side successfully and get prepared for increased authority and increased influence. Do you want to listen to your counselor? You know, I can't. Now, I'm sure this doesn't just happen in California. I've noticed some people come for counseling. It's kind of like placebo. And you tell them and they say, yeah, and go out and do the opposite. Maybe you should go tell them to do something sinful, then they do something righteous. Who knows? I mean, people are so, how would you say it, wacko, in that they wonder why their life falls apart when they go totally against the counsel of God. And may I say this, if you want prophetic word and God gives you a word and your pastor said that's God speaking to you, and you go out and do the opposite, you're opening the door to Satan in a way you don't want to. A guy I know who started all these churches and sent out people, and he said, I hate to say it, he said, there's people that are divorced and people who've died and people whose lives fall apart because they got a word from God and then went against the word of God. So if we want true prophetic revelation, that is high-level stuff, identifying and giving us clear direction, we better have some high-level obedience. Listen to the counselor. His name is Jesus. The government's upon his shoulders. His name is wonderful, and he won't misdirect you. He won't. If it looks like what is God doing, like, can you imagine, Abraham, he says, hey, Lot, you make a decision, boy. If you choose the valley, I'm going into the wilderness. You make up your mind. Lot looked, he says, man, that's beautiful down there. Green, I've been there, it's in Jordan and is modern-day Israel. It was a valley called Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, man, that looks great. Just like Egypt. Egypt represents the world. So he, in tremendous wisdom, took his family, not consulting God, went right down there. But Abraham, it says he chose the wilderness. But you know, Isaiah 35, God says he'll make the wilderness blossom like a rose. Some of you may think, God has sent me into the wilderness. Hear me. Jesus went into the wilderness and came out in the power of the Spirit of God. Israel went into the wilderness and came out into the promised land. May God make us a people that stop making foolish decisions based on what we like and what we see. May we get the counsel of God. Because Lot lost everything in Sodom and Gomorrah. His children got defiled. He got defiled. His wife died. I tell you, it's not God to blame when I or you reject his counsel. Because there's one whose word can be trusted. Amen? And like the garden of old, mankind still chooses to listen to counsel that's diametrically opposed to the wisdom of God. People who claim they're brilliant scientists and economic types and deep thinkers and all these people, politicians, they think Christians are stupid. Some are. But I want to tell you this, our God's not stupid. He's the source of wisdom. And when people reject the counselor, they become so foolish that their minds are darkened and they call good evil and evil good. They call darkness light and light darkness. In other words, their life becomes so twisted, they don't even know it's twisted. And people, that's twisted. May God make us a people in this generation that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church of the living God. Because we have a counselor! And he's wonderful. I said he's wonderful. He's not going to get you out on a limb and saw it off. He's not going to say, Peter, walk on the water, boy. Starts walking. Help! Even if you sink, he's going to pick you back up. Please hear the counselor. Because he said, let's go to the other side. Go on to the next. Notice this. The mighty God. I said the mighty God. Not just G-O-D, but capital G-O-D. And not just G-O-D, but mighty God. How many are glad he's a mighty God? Mighty God. Or it wouldn't be wrong because the book of Revelation calls him this, the Lord God Almighty. Our God is not a God on the same level as the other gods of the human race, which are just demons. Our God is Almighty God. There's no one like him. There's no one that can come near him. There's no one that can approach him. But that's why he sent his son to shed his blood, to open a way that no one could have opened. Because if you could approach God except through Jesus Christ, you'd disintegrate. He took on humanity that one day humanity can take on deity, sons and daughters of God. But in this natural body, we can't see God and live. That's what Moses was told. Aren't you glad one day we're getting a glorified body that we can handle God in all his fullness on the throne? Almighty God. Some of you are going to have some big problems. Some of you have big problems. Some of you, I hate to say it, are going to have bigger problems by this time next year. But aren't you glad there's Almighty God? Regardless what your problems are, he's bigger! And he's able to take you through whatever to the other side. I don't look for trouble. I don't have to. It comes looking for me. Hallelujah. And I don't pray, Lord, turn on the fire. I'm not crazy. God, let me be tested. I'm not going to pray that lunacy. I mean, who wants to go through things like that? In fact, that's not even biblical. Lead us not into temptation. But we pray that, but I want to tell you this. Those who go somewhere in God have had to face wind and waves. Those who've gone somewhere in God have had to face all type of demonic assaults. Those that go somewhere have had to walk through tests and trials and not give up on God and give up on the church and give up on themselves and give up on the family. They've got to say, I'm connected to Almighty God, and regardless how great these things are and how intense these are, we've got a God who's going to take me through his grace to the other side of victory. We can look cancer in the face like I had two and a half years ago with my older daughter. And she had her lymph nodes and her breasts and everything else. And They thought she was down for the count. She's been running from her call for 15 years. And I had to get in the devil's face and remind him of the words that I've had prophetically given to me since she was in diapers. And they haven't yet been fulfilled. And I'm glad Almighty God has the keys of hell and death. Keys of hell and death. We've got to know who is God Almighty in this generation. And he's not Buddha. And he's not Allah. And he's not the false prophet Muhammad. And he's not the New Age. And he's not the Hindu gods. And he's not a dead man on the cross. He said, I was dead and I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we give him a victory shout tonight? Oh, hallelujah. You see, we all need a greater revelation of Jesus. I want to bring God down to my level. And then God wants, through grace, get us to a place that we see things from his perspective. Example, in Isaiah chapter 6, let's turn back there. Notice this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And his train, that's his glorious manifest presence, filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, that's the archangels. And each one had six wings, and two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and two he did fly. And I want to say this. This is heavenly language that really takes revelation to understand any of it. But notice this. Face, worship, reverence. Feet, activity, ministry. Fly, supernatural movements in the spirit world. And one cried and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. What did he say? The whole earth is what? The whole earth is what? Wait a minute. Excuse me, I travel in the Middle East. The whole earth is not full of his glory there. Excuse me, I travel in Cambodia where they murdered a third of their nation. The whole earth is not full of his glory when they're trafficking little children there. Excuse me, I could go into the inner cities. Excuse me with the drug addiction and child abuse. Excuse me, the whole earth, I'm talking in the flesh, is not full of his glory. But I want to tell you, from God's viewpoint, the prophetic viewpoint of God, he doesn't see things as they are now. He sees things eternally as they're meant to be and going to be. Are you glad? The whole earth is full of his glory. That's why we can speak to a ghetto and say the whole earth is full of his glory. Like Nehemiah, he came into a destroyed city, bombed to the ground because of covenant breaking and sin. And you know what Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah saw? He saw those. He said, you burn stones, you're going to come back into your place and I'm going to build bigger and better than ever before, for the whole earth is full of his glory. I want to tell you, United States, you might be in a mess right now, but the whole earth is full of his glory. I want to tell you, Middle East, you may be coming apart at the seams with ISIS and all those other terrorists from hell, but God's got good news for us and bad news for you. The whole earth is full of his glory because God Almighty has a prophetic decree coming from the throne of God, and it's going to make everything come together because Hebrews says he upholds all things by the word of his power. The whole earth is full of his glory. Are you glad the whole earth is full of his glory? Almighty God, you don't see things from our time vantage point. You see things from eternity. We've got to tap into this or we become negative. I had this one preacher. I'm glad I wasn't there because I love him, but he's getting off the wall. He reads and he watches all this stupid news all the time. About the economy and about politics and about this. If you go watch sin all the time, it doesn't really build your faith. And it is sin hearing about this crooked politician and this going on and this thing's happening and this riot's happening and these people are doing this and this one's shacking up and this one's doing this. Doesn't that make you edified? No, it makes you want to throw up. It takes life out of you. And you need to know somewhat what's going on so you can stand against it and pray. But hear me, that can't be your daily bread. But when you get a focus of the Lord and get in his presence, I tell you, you can step out of the earth realm up into the throne realm. And I want to tell you, he says in Hebrews 4, come boldly to the throne of grace. What Isaiah experienced one time, we can tap into on a daily basis. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you want to know Jesus in a deeper way this year? Ask Lord God Almighty, who covers the earth with his eternal plan. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to get on board and go to the other side, because I don't want to be with some puny demon spirits beating up the human race. I want to be with the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of all spirits and the Father of light. And I want to be with him when we put the enemy under our feet. I plan to sail with Jesus like never before in this generation. Do you want to go to the other side? Knowing Almighty God, your counselor, the wonderful one. We need to understand this, because we're going to face things like Goliath. He was a mighty giant. But David said, hey, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. And that kind of makes you go from a giant to a pygmy. And I become a giant in God, because I'm here. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We're joined to God Almighty through his name, through his word and his spirit. And God wants us to have some revelation that we're not fighting at their level. We're fighting from his level. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And David called him also, who is this uncircumcised guy? What was he saying? Who is this guy without a covenant? Are you glad you have a covenant with God Almighty that he's made with you? You didn't make the covenant. He made the covenant. And because he made the covenant, he says, I won't turn from you in Ezekiel, but to do you good. I'm glad God always wants me to have good. Through the grace of God, he wants you to have good. Through the grace of God, he wants humanity to have good. He's not willing that any should perish, because God so loved the world. Almighty God, it has a good plan. And because he's Almighty God, it's going to crush the evil, wicked, demented, deceived, destructive plan of the powers of darkness.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, may Almighty God take us this year and cause us to come truly to the other side and bring us into our promised land, fearless to face the giants that we must face, because he is with us, not at a distance. He is with us in covenant, ever present. And the whole earth, I said the whole earth, from the throne room perspective, is full of his glory. The whole earth, that includes your marriage, that includes your wayward children, that includes your job, all the demonic things rising up. Hear me, that's just a vain attempt of Satan to bring a camouflage to this glorious reality of Christ. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can we praise him tonight? Then it's called the Eternal Father, the Everlasting Father. Having had to go through a lot of deliverance, and a lot of healing, and dealt with thousands of other people, fathers can either bless or curse their children. But I'm glad the Everlasting Father came to remove what the father of lies, first of all, has done to the human race. The enemy always counterfeits God, the father of lies. Everything that Satan brought into his fallen offspring, sinners, Jesus has come to be a proper representation of the fatherhood of God. God's father heart. Everything your earthly father did wrong to you, or even right with you, Jesus comes to make good better, and better, best. Jesus comes to make evil powerless and wickedness broken. I'm glad the Eternal Father that we have is able to restore unto us the years that the locusts have eaten. I'm glad we do have a Father, and we all have the same Father. Regardless of our age, regardless of our race, we have the same Father, because through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're joined to the eternal heavenly family. Are you glad? In heaven, there's not going to be any division. In heaven, there's not going to be any separation. In heaven, there's not going to be any of the effect of the fallen Adamic race. But we don't have to wait to heaven, because the Bible talks about heaven on earth. And in the church, Father God, revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Father, wants to make our lives effective, powerful, equipped, blessed, miraculous. You start using every positive word you can think of, because the Father didn't send His Son to die to give all the blessings to the heathens. I tell you, Jesus died to give the blessings of the new covenant only to His people. So you got a Father in heaven who reveals Himself in Jesus Christ, who has the best for you. You're not a leftover. You're not a could have been. You're not a should have been. You're not a might have been. You're not, I'm just a woman, or I'm just a this, or I'm just a that. No, you're just a son or a daughter of God. And God's your Father. And since He has all the abundance of heaven, He's looking for some people that believe that. I don't know about you. I want more from my Father. I said, I want more from my Father. And I want to know Him better. And I have, two daughters and a daughter-in-law. And she knows how to always get whatever she wants from Romania. Hallelujah. Smile. Papa Bill. Those eyes. Here you go. Go shopping. Here you go. Go shopping. And it's a miracle I'm not broke after they come to see me. Hallelujah. But anyhow, I can't say no to her, because I knew her as a teenager. I used to tease her. She was going to marry my son. She used to say, I do not want a boy. She was 20. He was 15. But the boy grew up. Hallelujah. So the joke was on me and them. Yes, Lord. But I can't say no to her. I don't know. Maybe I need discernment. Who knows? But I can't say no. But I got good news for you. Your Father can't say no to you. I said your Father can't say no to you. Because He's... all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Are you glad God won't say no to you? You say, well, God said no to me. That's because He doesn't want you to destroy yourself. You know, I know some people, they're in such debt, and they get out of debt. You know, they burn up the credit cards, and they give them 5 years, they're in worse debt. How come God's not blessing me? Because He doesn't want you to destroy it. To stay in the promised land, you've got to serve the Father of the promised land. You can't be lawless in the promised land. That's why the inhabitants were kicked out, because they were. But I'm glad there's a Father who always wants to say yes to us when we ask according to His will and His word. Are you glad there's someone on the throne who's your Father? And because He says yes to you and your failures and your sins and your inconsistencies and your shortcomings and your track record, I'm glad by the grace of God, He said, told those disciples who were always full of unbelief when He walked the earth and always not having a clue what's going on, He said, hey guys, let's go to the other side. I'm glad it's a grace journey. I said, I'm glad it's a grace journey. I'm glad it's not a religious journey. I'm glad it's not based on what I do, but I'm glad it's based on what He's done. I'm glad it's not based on who I am, but who He is. Are you glad your Father takes your place and makes a way when there is no way? Because you've got a Father at the right hand who wants to restore and make all things new, not just on earth, but in you, His chosen vessel. When I say, let's go the other side, I'm saying, without a greater place before the Lord, we'll face a lot of impossibilities. But as we cry out like Paul to know Him, I want to tell you, in the strength of our growing relationship with Him, we're going to get to the other side. I said, we're going to get to the other side. What the enemy means for evil, here's my favorite thing, God turns around for good. Joseph said, you meant it for evil to his no good for nothing brethren, but God meant it for good. Now I want to say, whether it's you personally or your family or your past or your race or anything, I work in Cambodia. Can you imagine in one night, the Cambodians in 1973 killed 40,000 Vietnamese on a rumor. 40,000. And now there's still 2 million Vietnamese left in Cambodia. And there has to be mercy to get in there for that animosity that's been between the Vietnamese and the Cambodians for thousands of years. Because part of Cambodia, part of Vietnam used to be Cambodia. So there's a lot of hate. But I'm glad that there's a father who the Bible says is the Prince of Peace. I'm glad he can bring peace where there is nothing but war between families and individuals, between mothers and fathers, between sisters and brothers, between siblings and between different ethnic groups and different racial groups. There is no peace apart from the Prince of Peace. Unless Jesus gets in. Why, you know, when people are saying the stupidity that Islam is the religion of peace, I don't know what they're smoking. I really don't. Travel with me to the Middle East and say it's original religion of peace. It's been a religion of war from its beginning. But I'm glad there's a Prince of Peace who's working day and night to end war, to end calamity, to end disaster, to end demonic things all over the earth. And hear me, the Prince of Peace one day is going to have peace all over this whole world. And there's nothing that can stop that. But in the meantime, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Don't let your hearts be afraid. Let the peace of God, Colossians says, rule in your heart. Why do you think Jesus said, go on the other side? Peace, be still. He knew how to enforce peace. And hear me, regardless what turmoil I'm facing, and trust me, I have faced my battles, or what you're facing, aren't you glad there's a peacemaker? That you don't have to come to pieces. You don't have to be torn apart and no resolve. You can have peace like Jesus did in the worst storm to go to the other side. The Prince of Peace. How the world needs the Prince of Peace. I said, how the world needs the Prince of Peace. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds. May the Prince of Peace cause us to cause the enemy to fall to pieces. As we go to the other side. Amen? You see, we're meant to carry the influence of the Lord. For example, have you ever had people visit your home and they bring such an atmosphere of intensity and anxiety and a few other things? And they leave, you almost say, could I have the fumigators visit us, please? You know, it's just such an atmosphere. But I've had people come into my home and literally God comes with them. There was a dear old man in upstate New York. He was one of the founding fathers of the Pentecostal movement in North America. He carried such a manifest presence of Jesus. People told me if you went to his house for a weekend, your life was changed forever. He carried that type of intimacy and that type of anointing from God. And I'm glad this can be reality because the Bible says of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. God doesn't just say we're going the other side for a year. He wants us to keep going from faith to faith, grace to grace, and glory to glory. There's no end to what Jesus has for you. Don't put on the brakes. Don't settle down. Don't believe any lies that he's not wonderful. Don't close your ears and heart to his counsel. Don't think what you're facing is almighty. Believe only God is almighty. And don't believe that God is like your dysfunctional father was. Because hear me, God is the father none of us ever had. And don't think the wars that have been in your life and the disruptions in your life now or in the future are ultimate. Hear me, the Prince of Peace is ultimate. I said, the Prince of Peace is ultimate. And I end with this. Let's go to the book of Colossians tonight. We see of the increase of his kingdom, there'll be no end. The book of Colossians. Here is Paul. This is a real heady place, Colossians. Colossians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. It says this. He was talking about some things here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Or verse 9. For this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a beautiful prayer by the Spirit Paul wrote. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, notice this, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Lord wants us to increase. Now, I love what Paul said. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. And may I say this, God wants to give the increase to this church this year. Do you want the increase of heaven? Not the decrease, the increase. Not to be added to, but to multiply. Increase us, Lord. Because you said, of the increase of your kingdom, there's not going to be an end. And we go this last verse. Paul warned them. He said, let no man beguile you, Colossians 2:18. In your reward, in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hadn't seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, that is, Jesus isn't given the preeminence, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered, and knit together and increaseth with the increase of God. God wants you to increase in wisdom, in authority, in prayer, in prosperity, in enlargement, in souls, in relationship, in breakthrough, you name it, everything positive God has for you, everything negative He doesn't have for you. That's why we've got to be people. We get positive by focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and crying out for a deeper revelation that He will give us this year because of the increase of His kingdom. There's not going to be an end because He desires that we would increase with the very increase of God Almighty Himself. You know, there's no one I can turn you on to like Jesus. Because every other high, the next day you pay for it. Or if you get caught on the way home, you pay before you get home. But there's no high like the Most High. Meaning, God wants us to experience the presence of God and the anointing of God and the love of God and the presence of God. And it does give us a euphoria. It does give us feeling, though we don't live by feeling. We live by faith. It does give us a touch from an unseen world, but it doesn't distort our personality, nor destroy our personality, nor destroy our relationship, nor destroy our marriage, nor destroy our body. To the contrary, it heals our relationships. It strengthens our marriage. It quickens our mind. Because when we get in contact with the Most High God, we increase from who we are to be more like who He is. Then we go to the other side. Once Jesus told His disciples, get on the boat and head on out. And He went to the mountain and was praying. And He prayed into the wee mornings of the hours. And then they're rowing to try to get through some tough wind. All of a sudden, they looked, and here was someone walking on the water. And they screamed. They said, it's a demon. That's what they thought it was. It's a spirit. And Jesus said, no, it's not some spirit. It's me. And then He got on board, and you know what it says? This is in the Gospel of John. The minute He got on board, they were on the other side. I tell you, God's going to surprise us as He comes into our lives in ways we don't expect it, in times we don't expect it, and we're going to miraculously find ourselves places we don't think we're meant or we're ever going to be. Because hear me, when Jesus gets on board in personal areas, marital areas, financial areas, spiritual areas, we arrive someplace we never could arrive when we get there. Are you glad? Increase is meant to be yours because that's what the other side's all about. May the revelation of Jesus Christ that Paul found out in Galatians 1, that John found out about in Revelation, that the early church said we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. May Jesus be revealed in an intense fashion to this church And you may you be a people that can say he's wonderful. He's the counselor. He's God Almighty. He's the eternal Father revealed to us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the Prince of Peace. And he doesn't just give us a blessing. No! He gives us ongoing blessings as we know him and walk with him. There's an increase that never stops. Because it's not the finite blessing the finite. It's the infinite blessing the finite. Meaning God has no beginning, has no end, and there's no lack of his resources. Dear people, the church, myself included, needs a greater revelation, apprehension, and appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we focus there, hear me, I just shout this to you. You're going to the other side. And when you see the winds and the waves, rather than freaking out, you'll say, like he did, shut up, and peace will come. Rather than panic, you'll praise. Rather than freak out, you'll rejoice. Rather than come apart, you'll come together.